Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damien.
And this is Douglas.
And we're back again.
Abbas Kiarostami.
Nope, not him. He's not tonight. No Kiarostami tonight.
We're black and white still Chinese movies.
No, we're not talking about those either.
Cowboys and engines.
We are, however, talking about the 1989 film by Mohsin Makhmalbaf, The Cyclist.
I know that name, Makhmalbaf.
Yes. He's a famous Iranian filmmaker. And the only place I would guess you would have heard it from other than myself is his name is uttered repeatedly in the film Close Up, which I made us watch on this podcast.
That's not where Douglas remembers that name.
No.
But this film from the 80s is about a Afghan immigrant whose wife becomes ill in Iran, and he's unable to pay for the medical fees and ends up in a pseudo circus in which he is paid to cycle nonstop for a week as two rivaling gamblers gamble away at his disposal.
Gambling man.
This is a movie that I'd heard great things of, which is why it's on this marathon for us to kind of take a look at and see what's going on. And I have things about this movie. I'm not completely negative, but this film has things, right? Like, first of all, my hope is that Douglas loves this movie. Right, and not because it's some wonderful piece of art, but because once you get past the first 20 minutes of setup of them showing you the wife in the hospital and him struggling as a well digger and unable to kind of get solid work and not able to communicate with people, and it becomes the circus of him cycling and watching these two gamblers go at it, it becomes sort of a one-upmanship movie in which you see things like, for example, one man brings a doctor to try and help him stay awake, to the next man saying, okay, we need our own doctor, who on countering turns will try to put him to sleep. You see them bring a referee who's just sitting there and obviously paid by one man who's running around trying to make sure whether he's fallen off his bicycle or not. And all of those elements of this movie, I truly love. Like, I love the way that the movie played with itself in that manner. But at the same time, it kept a very almost Rocky-ish tone to it in my mind. Where when the movie ends and you have that he did it, right, I almost, like, I felt the sense of, like, wanting to have a moment with, like, Rocky up at the top of the steps going, like, yeah, I did it, right? Even though this movie doesn't have it as wildly as that. But for me, like, the opening of this movie, it felt to kind of trudge along for, like, that first 15, 20 minutes of trying to kind of get you into the world of what this movie was doing. So much so that I actually felt myself a little bit confused, kind of trying to figure out what was going on with this guy. Why is he having all of this trouble, right? Like, you see the hospital appear, but you don't really get to understand as to why somebody's helping him with the bills. You kind of, the story on its own, you get this feeling that he's not supposed to be having that much help in order to survive. And when the whole cycling thing comes up, it comes up almost out of nowhere, where they're like, oh no, he's a cycling champion from Afghanistan, don't you know this? He's like the greatest man alive, like, what's wrong with you? It's, for me, this is a movie where it's plus and it's minuses, and I think at the end of the day, I view it as almost a weird sports movie rather than anything else. Not as one of these, not what I expect when I come to the podcast talking about Iranian cinema. Not this surrealist, emotional film that I'm looking at. It's just this sports movie with some really side dumb jokes, right? And I don't know how you guys really felt about it. I'll leave that to you, Douglas.
Yeah, so Andrew, I want us just to... I want to point out a few things, right? And I think a couple of them you've pointed out already. But first of all, it started off... Well, let's not even... I'm just going to list out a few items, a few key items of this movie. One was when a man is handed a paper. When a doctor says the following words: "Your wife is a disease collection." Right?
Accurate.
That is a front runner for best line ever.
Best diss of all time.
Oh my god. Another thing I want us to point out, another key moment in this film, in this piece of cinema, is when somebody hands this fella a piece of paper to sign, and on this paper, and it's spelled incorrectly, or maybe, well, I don't know why it's even in English, but on the sheet of paper that her husband needs to sign is written, "She is dying." And
that's doctor speak.
Mm-hmm. And
the people in what are they doing?
I mean, this movie tries so hard to
so
be
far.
Essentially the Cannonball Run of bicycle of individual bicycle races, solo bicycle races, right? And the thing is, so I've spoken on this podcast about, I believe I've spoken about it, how much I didn't really like the Cannonball Run when I saw it, when I rewatched it recently. But I 100% appreciate what it was doing and that kind of movie. And if it got, that's the type of movie that I love, where it's silly. It has a very small, very stupid premise and builds and knows that it's silly and just goes with it. This movie, to a certain degree, is that. Right? It actually starts off very surrealist, very almost what I would call Gilliam-esque. Right? Especially when you're in the hospital. Even in the way that the camera is located, the way that the camera sees or shows you what it sees, in the shots that are below the level of what you're focusing on and kind of at an angle. And also in the dreaminess of it for a long time. And I understand why you said you were confused, Andrew. For a little while, I thought that the sequences in the hospital were some kind of dream, right? Or some sort of alternate reality, for the lack of a better word. Because it was so unreal. So
there's a moment where the doctor gets the call with the money.
Yeah.
And things turn on for
yes.
his wife.
Yes. Yes. Which I think is great, right? So there is all of that, and I give this movie marks for never feeling the need to explain why his wife is sick, or and allowing me to look at her and say, "You're not really sick," because in my mind she's not really sick. There's nothing wrong with her. Maybe that's just for me to make it funnier, but in my mind, but that's what I'm saying.
Her acting wasn't the best, so it's very hard.
Right, and just to reinforce the Gilliam-nosity of this film, you know, was another moment that I thought was great, which was, this was closer now to the middle of the movie where we're back in the hospital, The wife is clearly looking a little bit better, but not quite. She's out of it. And the husband is in the window. He is the bicycle angel in the window, right? And that was great. So those kind of things that they did. And you mentioned the two opposing doctor teams. The doctors that one doctor would perk him up, the other one would try and bring him down. And you had the two big bettors, the two big gamblers, and you know, one gambler realized that a fellow was feeding him and making sure that he would stay awake, he said, you know what? And this is something that you didn't mention. This is something that was actually kind of a throwaway that you never really, I think, got much attention, but I thought was funny, was that the other gambler said, whoa, 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 you can't just feed him like that. You know what? I'm going to feed him every other meal. And it became that back and forth where each of them was trying hard to, you know, influence this solo race, this feat of stamina, one way or the other, right?
Strength of feet, the great strength of feet.
Yes, great strength of feet. So that is about all I have to say about this movie that's good, right? At the end of the day, this is not a very good movie. And what makes it even worse is everything I just said a while ago. There were so many seeds that could have been just marvelous silliness and died a horrible death, just an average death in this movie. At the end of the day, this movie is probably, it's okay, but I have a problem with it because it wasn't able to fully execute on those just concepts that it had. There were a lot of problems. First of all, I think the fact that we were confused at first, Andrew, the fact that it was difficult to discern that this was all real and there was no, the surrealism was just there for no fucking reason, right? It wasn't there to differentiate between something and something else. It was just there maybe because they had a different director on that day, which is not good. Also, so this, there were a lot of things that just didn't, there were throwaways. So like, for instance, he has a friend, right, that helps him along, and at one stage I think he dies.
Does he?
He fell into a well.
They just end there. They're like, you know what, let's get back to this race.
That's another thing that I assumed was a dream. The whole falling into the well bit. I assumed all of that was a dream.
Oh, no, 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 no. I assume that's a dream as well. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about his other friend that actually got him the job, got him the bicycle thing. Then he was up all night doing something and had to ride a motorcycle in a bowl and died.
Oh, he fell into
a bowl. Was that the friend?
Yes, I think that was... that's another thing. I think that was a friend. I'm pretty sure that was a friend.
And I didn't mention that this movie eventually brings out government officials and spies.
Yes, it does. Again, you know, this reminds me so much of, like, for instance, Spies Like Us. I guess maybe just because it's spies. But so that sort of Chevy Chase, Bill Murray, and Harold Ramis 80s stupid comedy. It has so many seeds of that, and it just does not adequately. It doesn't get to where it needs to go with those concepts, and it's frustrating. And at the end of the movie, I don't necessarily see it as a Rocky moment. I see it more as a moment of what is happening here. And it just it's nonsensical, but not in a good way, not in that comedic way, just nonsensical in the sense that you're not quite sure. This doesn't make any sense that it's happening. No, this movie, somebody could try and argue me into liking.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke about a movie on another podcast recently.
Where people couldn't try.
Where people could not try. They tried hard. They did not succeed. So, Damian, what did you think of this movie?
Oh, hi.
I feel like I'm going to be a little more positive than you. I feel like you're not going to like this movie.
So the last time we did our podcast, I was told to use my words.
Oh.
And so I will start out by saying that everyone worked hard on this movie.
So that's the end of the podcast.
By the way, sorry, before we get into the firebomb that is about to occur, was it just me or so? Again, back to the surrealism versus not surrealism. This soundtrack was great, by the way. And there were points in the soundtrack where, by nature, the type of music that is in the soundtrack is a little bit mystical. It's a little bit wavy. It's not very defined. But there were points where I felt like, and it almost tied in with the surrealist aspect of it sometimes, where it wasn't just the music, it sounded like it was the music being manipulated, almost as if a tape or a record was being warped. Now,
like the film had been warned.
Exactly. So my question to you is, do I take that to be an intentional thing, or do I take that to be the degradation over time of this movie?
I honestly couldn't tell you.
Oh, Damon's a dick.
That's racist.
The music was good. What's happening?
Are we done? You're about to flamethrow. You're about to take Tesla's new flamethrower and just ravage this whole process, this whole podcast.
Movies are a
hard to make,
endeavor for all parties.
You know what? I think every podcast you need to come on and make the speech from now on.
And, I just want to say that this is not an indictment of the persons. I just think their art is garbage. Where to begin?
Oh boy!
This movie. How about the sport?
This movie was made a year after Rambo: First Blood Part 2. Is when this movie was made.
The benchmark by which all movies are measured.
Wait, sorry, this movie was made in 89?
Yes. 87 was when this movie was made.
Oh, 87?
87.
Okay. Right.
Uh-huh. Now, while it felt like last year at this point, last week, that movie was made before stories were invented. This movie had ample time to catch up. And
yeah, they'd seen Rambo.
And yet, no story was there to be had at all. Yet again, think the Iranians might be racist against stories. This movie looks like garbage. It sounds, according to my two co-hosts, it sounds good. Think they're wrong, but my palette for music is, let's say, limited. So I'll give this movie a pass. Maybe it sounds incredible if you're into whatever type of music this is. It looks
bad. If you're
bad.
Into Punjabi, yeah. MC.
The movie doesn't look good at all. Even by 80s standards, there's some Vaseline on the screen for this movie. Looks weird. But who knows? Maybe it was an artistic choice. It felt appropriate in the dream sequences, but the rest of the movie, it just seemed off. Now I will tell you a story. There's a man from Afghanistan whose wife is sick. They put her in a hospital and throw a plastic bag over her. And writes on a piece of paper, she's dead.
Yes.
And so the man needs to get some money to pay for her fees. But he's in a new land. And most of the jobs are for the Home Depot. Or for whatever the Iranian version of the Home Depot is. Where a man in a truck comes up and says, I am paying Afghans 300 whatever peas to dig these wells.
Am I the only one who thought like he was trapping them to take them back to Afghanistan?
You're that a terrible whole person. And there's things about digging wells, but it isn't explored because the story is bad. And there's also things about people lying on the buses and everyone's going, no, don't kill yourself. We're going to beat you near death and then throw you 2 cents and run your way. So again, they don't really explain that. I don't know if that is part of Iranian culture and I'll never find out because I'm never going to look it up. And this movie spent zero time trying to explain why that is. I also don't know if that was meant to be funny. It seemed like it was supposed to be an exaggeration, but based on last week's movie, I have no idea anymore. I don't know. I've never been to Iran. I don't think they allow me to go there.
I took this movie as being funny.
Right. Except, like another movie that Prometheus is better than, this movie was devoid of jokes.
What?
What jokes? Where, Douglas?
What?
Please tell me.
She's dead in?
Uh-huh. No, that is a joke for me and you. The movie didn't know that. The movie didn't know that.
Your wife
is deading.
Disease is what was it? Actually, I took notes. I was reading right. From the notes. Your wife is a disease collection.
Cool. That is based
and
on.
I have to tell you, the doctors, there is. It is objectively true that the doctors, you may decide you like it or not, but it is played for jokes.
No, yeah, there's a lot of exaggeration in this movie. But not a lot of jokes. No.
And he put like matches or sticks in his eyes to keep them open.
No. This may be because of subtitling. You never like there's a lot with jokes, there's a lot about delivery and timing.
Yeah.
And so reading a joke rather than hearing the joke.
That's actually why, because I'm such an asshole, I avoid foreign language stand-ups like the plague.
Yeah.
I know I'm an asshole for it, but no, I mean, I can't.
Reading the jokes, sometimes they just miss. Even the ones who do most of it in English and then switch over to Spanish from time to time, when they have to subtitle it, there's times where I'm just like, people are dying in the crowd. But the thing I just read is either mistranslated or not that funny. So yeah, no, I understand.
So
the crux of the matter is this man used to be a world famous.
Which, by the way, I thought was a lie. I thought initially,
I assumed
the guy was just like, yo, he needs a job. You know what? He's the champion of anything you want him to be.
Right. He's a world famous cyclist, which is not a thing.
A world famous solo cycle racer.
Which
race against himself.
Which has never existed.
And I love that becomes a circus. Just people being like, oh, one day if he'll drop.
Yeah.
And they just keep watching.
Then they started.
That in of itself is kind of funny.
He cures a lot of.
There it is.
Once he starts peddling, shenanigans start to happen. People start betting.
I thought you were about to make a joke about his actually cycling. But then you came back to it.
No. They start promoting it as him being able to heal things and. Then the two degenerate gamblers are trying to come up with ways for him to lose. And as you guys said, the government gets involved. And something about us, I still don't understand what that spy shit was about.
It's similar.
With my eyes open because I saw it.
Okay.
But my brain shut off.
like, that's why I like it so much, because, and I mentioned Spies Like Us. That's a movie I love. And it's a similar concept where essentially it's, so the Spies Like Us joke goes, is like a dual-bladed joke, right? Where you have these bumbling buffoons who are being sent out to pose as spies, mm-hmm. which really shows up the fact that real spies are also bumbling buffoons, right? Mm-hmm. Except this only has one edge of the sword, which is that the spies are just bumbling buffoons to think that this is some sort of espionage event. Yes. But it still, you know, it has a decent amount of levity to it. The more I talk about
it, I feel like this Douglas movie, is coming around on this.
Yeah, I'm talking myself into this movie, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of just loose ends that don't make any sense that I didn't like. But at the end of the day, I don't think I'm going to end off negative on this. I think I'll probably be fine with this movie because I'm not watching it again.
I like this movie. Never going to see it again. I will forget immediately. Already forgetting things that happened in the movie while I watch it. It was mercifully short, though.
It was. I have to tell you, when I pressed play and saw it was an hour 18, I said out loud, thank Christ. Mm-hmm. Thank the Lord. Right.
So you already had
praise Jesus.
You already had your expectations met. You're like, yes. This is a good one.
Oh, I was so happy because it couldn't hurt me. Couldn't hurt me.
Well,
so
you guys
long.
Will be happy to hear that the next film in our... in our series, uh-huh. Is only an hour 26.
That's still almost feature length. That one could be tricky.
Right, that's like a real movie.
Yeah.
the film called The Apple from 1998 by Samira Makhmalbaf, which we'll talk about next week.
So the first one was the cow. This one is the bicycle, and the next one is the apple.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think we did it in the wrong order, mm-hmm. though, because it was CBA.
Right.
It needs to be ABC.
Oh.
Wait, hold on.
I see.
Oh, right. You said bicycle. I guess that's why the B comes in.
This is really the cyclist. This is C.
Okay.
Actually, it could be... No, it's still in the wrong order because you need another A movie so you can get ACCA. Yeah.
Mm. You guys are morons.